So 2020 was supposed to be Tokyo's year. As the host city of the Summer Olympics, it was going to shine. People were going to come from all over the world, camera crews were going to follow in their wake, and we would all spend several weeks just soaking up the delights of Tokyo, plus a little bit of sport on the side. Of course, 2020 hasn't turned out the way any of us planned. And the Olympics is just one of the casualties. But today, we're going to take a trip to Tokyo anyway and explore one of the city's most historic neighbourhoods. Hello, and welcome to Walk the World, the podcast that lets you take a wander through the world's most interesting destinations without leaving home. I'm Uta Jonker, and today I'm going to take you on a stroll in the neighbourhood of Asakusa. Now, if you've never been to Tokyo, you probably imagine the city is all tall towers and neon lights, and certainly Tokyo has its fair share of both. But it also has a surprising collection of atmospheric low-rise neighbourhoods where you can sometimes feel like you're stepping back in time. One of the most interesting of those is Asakusa, and that's where we're off to now. So to get there, we're going to take the train to Asakusa Station. It's about 15 minutes from Tokyo Station. And riding the rails in Tokyo is always an experience. The trains are just so efficient, so streamlined, super crowded at peak hour usually. But the stations are great fun to explore, packed with eateries and drinkeries. And yes, I do know I just made up that word. Some of the stations have automatic drinking vending machines. And they're my favorite because what you can do is you can ask them what drink you need. And last time I was in Tokyo, I just made an exercise of always going up to one of these machines when I saw them and asking it what drink I need. And every single time it told me I needed green tea, which is funny because I don't drink green tea. So, you know, probably I do need some. And I had some friends with me. And so as a test, we did it. None of them ever got recommended green tea. So who knows? Anyway, once we get to Asakusa Station, we're going to start walking north. And you'll quickly get a feel for what this neighbourhood is like. Lots of small houses, narrow shop fronts. Some of them have these beautifully painted murals on their roller doors, just gorgeous. And most of these stores, you'll notice, are truly old school. So they're selling traditional items like combs or fans, all of which have been handmade in time-honoured fashion. You'll also notice lots of restaurants and eateries, but that's no surprise. Firstly, well, because everywhere in Tokyo is packed with places to eat, because Tokyo is really serious about food. And secondly, because a few hundred years ago, Asakusa was an entertainment district, known for its kabuki theatres and, of course, its restaurants. This may seem a little unusual, given that Asakusa is also known as a temple neighbourhood. The big attraction here is Sensoji, which is Tokyo's oldest temple. And in fact, we're heading there now. As you'll see when we get there, this temple is still very much part of the community. If you've ever been to a mosque in the Middle East, you'll know that these are real hubs for the neighbourhood, a place where you can take the family and just hang out for a couple of hours. Sensoji isn't quite like that, but it's still always bustling with people and a long way from those almost empty cathedrals that you'll find in lots of European cities. It's a place where life swirls in and around, and that's part of what gives it its charm. So we're now arriving at the Thunder Gate, and you'll know it when you see it. It's 12 meters tall, it's painted bright red, and it has a giant red paper lantern hanging in the middle. Have a peek on either side. Often overlooked are these two small statues, but I kind of like them. So one is the god of the wind, and the other is the god of thunder. Now walk through the gate, and you're on Nakamisi Dori, which is the street that leads to the temple. And it's lined with dozens and dozens of shops selling all sorts of stuff, from umbrellas to t-shirts to barking toy dogs. But before you get all, how dare they do that in front of this ancient temple, understand that this shopping street has actually been going since 1685. So people have been coming here to shop for a long time. Mind you, they've been coming here to pray for a whole lot longer. So the temple itself is more than 1,000 years old. And the story goes that two local brothers were fishing in the river, and in their nets they caught a small golden statue of the Buddhist deity Kannon. Now, they were fishermen. They had no use for a little golden statue, so they threw it back in the water. But then, every time they cast their net, there was the statue again. So eventually they got the hint. They took it home with themselves, and a temple was built to house it. And that's what we're looking at now. Now, part of the joy of visiting Syzygy is taking part in all the rituals that, like, the locals do. So first of all, that means stopping for a snack. And I'm particularly partial to the nyingi yaki, which are delicious little cakes that they make by pouring batter into a range of molds, which are shaped like fish or like lanterns and filled with red bean paste. They're particularly beautiful in winter when they really warm you up, but they taste delicious any time of year. So one of the other fun things you can do is to have your fortune told for just 100 yen. So this is called omikuji. And here's how it works. So there's a box with small wooden rods inside it, and you shake this until one of the rods pokes out of the hole in the end of the box. This rod has a number on it, which is written in Japanese characters, and you have to find the matching drawer nearby. So just keep a lookout for the same characters. Should be okay. If you're having problems, you can ask someone for help. And your fortune is inside that drawer. But your fortune is written in both Japanese and English, so you're not going to have a problem there. Now, some of the fortunes are good, some of them are not so good, but here's the clever thing. If you don't like your fortune, you just tie it to the nearby rack and leave it behind. The other ritual that's great fun is the purification. So just in front of the main hall is a huge incense burner surrounded by people. You'll see them wafting the smoke towards themselves to purify themselves and ward off illnesses. Photographers will find plenty of interesting shots around here. The temple itself, the five-story pagoda. My tip is there's a lovely little garden around the site which features the oldest stone bridge in Tokyo, and that's worth going and taking a look at. So when we're done here, we might grab a bite to eat. If you want something savoury, you're going to be spoiled for choice. As I mentioned, there's lots of restaurants, and the typical foods in this area include onaki, which is freshwater eel, and tempura rice bowls, and monjayaki, which is an omelette similar to the okonomiyaki, but really tasty. However, if you like ice cream, then I have a real treat for you. Behind the Syzygy Temple is a traditional tea shop, Suzukien, which is known for its unique range of tea-flavoured gelatos. So there's roast green tea gelato, there's Japanese black tea gelato, there's brown rice tea gelato, but most of all, there's matcha gelato. Now in Italy, there are some gelato shops that offer half a dozen different chocolate gelatos. Suzukien has 7 different matcha gelatos, and you can tell how strong each one is by how deep a green it is. So grab a scoop or two in your favourite shade of green and tuck in, because you don't want to be hungry when we get to our next destination. So from here we're heading west, and just a short walk away is the street called Kappabashi Dori, and this is the wholesale district for restaurateurs. It goes for about 1 kilometre, but it's going to take you much longer than you think to walk it, because there are 170 shops here, each one filled with stuff. Some of it's weird, some of it's wonderful, some of it's both. All basically themed around restaurants, food, eating, cooking. So of course you expect to see gorgeous crockery and bamboo utensils and knife sets. There's also brushes of all sorts, from hairbrushes to toothbrushes, all of which are made with natural bristles. And there's plenty of that plastic food that you see displayed in shop windows. And this is actually fascinating, because when you get up right close to it, you realize just what a work of artistry each one is. My favorite shops, personally, are the chopstick shops. You will find the most exquisite chopsticks here, made of all kinds of different materials and painted in all kinds of different ways. There are even chopsticks made specifically for specific foods. So for holding slippery ramen noodles, for instance, And of course, there's all kinds of cute chopsticks holders to go with the chopsticks. Have a look for the one shaped like Mount Fuji. They are really cute. And you can afford to pick up a few items here because we're basically done with our walk. From here, it's just a short stroll to Tawaramachi Station, where you can check out another drinks vending machine if you like, or just hop on the train that'll take you wherever you are headed next. So I hope you enjoyed getting a taste for this little corner of Tokyo with me today. If you'd like to hear more episodes of Walk the World, you can find them on your favourite podcast app or on my website, utejunker.com. That's UTEJUNKER, where you can also find my other podcast, I Know This Place. Thank you for listening, and I'll catch you next time on Walk the World.